share on the patience of faith. That's my message. But we are just, beloved, we're just too far along. We do have another church coming in to meet after us. We have a meal. Let me try and bring some, since I've been speaking relationally, let me just bring something to you out of Mark chapter 16. As I was reading this morning and just thanking God for his word, one of the things that, you know how you're just minding your business and thoughts just cross your mind. That just, you know, that just kind of get to you and you go, wow. You know, I think a lot about the Lord these days. I think a lot about who he is and how we're made in his image, but beloved, we're not God. This is interesting. We're made in his image, but don't get it wrong. We're not God. And so one of the things that astounds me, because we live in the information age, is that God spoke his word. It's right here. As far as we know it, and it's been going on for quite a while now, this is the word of God. This is all he spoke. This is all he spoke. But listen, thank you, brother. And when he got done, he stopped. Now, I forget how many words are that comprise the Bible, but it's so many words. But then here we come. We're living in the information age, right? And do you know how much we talk? Do you know how much stuff is being tweeted? And what's the Pinterest and photos? You know, it's just we and news, just so much. Yeah, just we talk all kinds of big words, and we don't stop. 24-hour news cycle, CNN forever blasting stuff out. He said this and stopped, and everything he said is going to come to pass, and just about everything we say, nothing comes to pass. God is he is so far beyond us. I said that to say that when we come to the Word of God, we come to someone. I'm gonna say someone. You know, the reason why we don't understand it all is because this is someone. The Word became flesh. And when we don't understand it all, it's because there's a reason why we don't understand it all. But let me get into Mark chapter 16 real quick. And it reads, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they saw, and they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? For us. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Now this is where you know, for me it gets personal and it gets relational. Jesus, God the Father, determined that when the tomb, that this Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Salome would see the open tomb, they would go in, and the angel says, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Now, sometimes, what if there's a person in your life right now that God has put there who's going to tell you where you will see Jesus? What if there's someone in your life and you don't know it, But they are going to tell you how to get closer to Jesus. They're going to tell you where to find him. They're going to tell you where you're going to see him. It's interesting how God uses the relationships in this story, because it can be very key. We don't know who's going to play what role down the road in our lives. But they are there for a reason. They are there for a reason. So the angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. Now, here comes Mary Magdalene, seven demons, amongst other sins, you know, things in her life. She comes to the people who are still crying and grieving over Jesus' death, and her assignment or position in their lives at this point was to be a messenger of Jesus, to be a messenger of the Word of God. And she comes and says, he's risen, I've seen him. Incredible. Listen, verse 11, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Wow. You mean, even though this person is telling me what Jesus already told me, he said I'm going to rise the third day. This person is telling me what Jesus already told me, and I'm not believing it. What if Jesus sent someone to you? I'm not talking about someone far away. I'm talking about someone within this church. Mary Magdalene, she was part of the inside group. Come on, she was right there when Jesus teaching. She right there at his feet. Those boys knew Mary Magdalene. They knew who she was. But they did not believe. Yet God had chosen her to deliver the message. Listen, there are people in your life for a reason. There are times that they're bringing a message for you from God, but you got to hear it. What if you don't believe? What if you don't believe? Goes on. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So God's trying to get a message to his people, but they won't believe. And he's sending the message through credible relationships. Can I say this? We need to hear one another. Amen. We need to hear one another. Listen, when you've been walking with somebody, you know they love you. Come on. You know they care for you. When they bring a word, it may not be what you want to hear. But in this case, I don't understand, because everyone would want to hear that Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. But even if they don't bring a word, you may not. Remember when Jesus came to Peter and he said, launch out into the deep for a drought, and Peter said, we've been fishing all night, but at your word, because of who you are, and because you're saying it, I'm going to do what you say. Okay, if somebody comes because you know their character, you know their love for you, you know, you may not agree right then with the message, but because of who they are in your life, give heed. Consider seriously. Now watch this. Later, Jesus, verse 14, later, Jesus appeared to the leaven as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. Huh? He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. In other words, Jesus is saying, I sent people to you. Come on, it's like the guy drowning on top of a roof, right? The flood. And he's saying, send help, helicopter comes, boat comes by. No, I'm all right, the Lord's going to deliver me. Helicopter comes by, no, the Lord's going to deliver me. He drowns, goes to heaven. Lord, why didn't you help me? He said, I sent a boat, sent a helicopter. What do you want me to do? I answered you. So he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they didn't receive the messenger, so they didn't receive the message. Sometimes we can discredit a message because of the messenger. God help us. In this case, they knew the people. Now the people, I'm sure, you know, people have problems in their life, but they should have received the message and the messengers that God had sent, but they thought it better not. So it was interesting to me as I read that this is post-resurrection rebuke. Jesus, in other words, you know, some people think Jesus is cutesy, tender, walking with the sheep around his neck, sweet Jesus. Let me tell you something. Get it wrong with him, and he will rebuke you. He will get in your face and let you know how he feels and where he's at. And when that happens, there will be no rebuttal. You won't say anything else. You'll just...
Amen.
Like Job said. So, I just want us to... I'm just feeling this in my own spirit as I'm walking with the Lord, to honor those that we have in our life. Honor those. Because God is in each one of those, in particular now in the body of Christ that he's put within our life. He is at work in them, and because of that, we are immensely valuable to him and to one another. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet. We're going to bless the food. Amen? We're going to have some sweet fellowship. Hallelujah. Love on each other. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, O God, that you've brought us all together again to gather in your name. Thank you that where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. Revelation 1 says Jesus is walking around in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the church, Jesus is walking around. Father, we thank you that your presence, Lord, is resident here within us and among us. Lord, we ask, Lord, over our fellowship, over the food, the blessing. We ask, Lord, that it would strengthen and nourish our bodies, that our fellowship would strengthen and nourish our spirit, our inner man, we pray, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you real good.